Well, I have another capable person in the studio this morning. I want to welcome John Moosey. Welcome, John.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Let's start with the simple stuff. Meaning, before we talk anywhere near a budget, remind the listener who may not know how long you have been here in the Valley.
Next month, I will have been here 4 years.
4 years. Okay. And all that time as borough manager?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you jumped right from, and tell me where you came from outside of Alaska.
Yes. I was previously, right before here, I was the county manager for Chisago County in Minnesota.
Ah, okay. And now you've been here for 4 years. You've had a chance to have fresh eyes on the scene, and now you still have sort of fresh eyes. I can tell. I can witness to that. Even this early time in the morning, your eyes look fresh. And so, this would be your fourth budget cycle, is that right, or is it your fifth?
This is going to be the fifth. I got here right at the tail end in May of the 2011 budget.
Okay, but that one had already been sort of in process.
It was in process. I got there, and they threw it in my lap saying, essentially, fix this and reduce this. So I spent my first 2 weeks here working for a brand-new staff trying to make it work for my assembly.
Ah, okay. And I like the way you refer to your assembly as my assembly. It's an assembly that as anyone who is in any way knowledgeable about the borough knows that the borough assembly hires the borough manager.
That is correct. I am directly responsible to those seven members.
Now, just as a make a comparison, perhaps, when you were in Minnesota, was it the same form of government?
It was similar. Okay. I had five county commissioners elected the same way by district.
Right.
We had more different responsibilities. We had health and human services that we provided. I think we had more of a variety of services that the county provided there. We're a little bit more limited here, basically because we are a second-class borough.
Okay. And that's been one of the things that's fascinating for people to understand, that the three cities, for example, are all different forms of municipal government, and the borough is yet another form, so that we're all variations on a theme.
That is correct. But bottom line, it comes down to electing the person that you want to represent them, and hopefully they will make decisions that the electorate is pleased with.
Okay, all right. So let's move into the budget cycle again, kind of the overview aspect of this. Many people, personally, in their budgets, probably think about a budget, but they don't have this annual drive to create a budget and do it. Our personal budget at home, you know, we work on it, but it's an ongoing process. What drives the budget in terms of timeliness at the borough?
We are required by state code to provide a budget, which is a legal document, and that has to be done before the end of May.
Okay. And we say that's the last day in May, or
there is a specific date, and until we get close, I don't worry about that specific date is.
Okay.
But there is a date that we require by code to have this approved by the assembly.
Okay, and so then we roll back and we say you're operating under a budget now, and your budget year ends as of.
June 30th of each year.
June 30th, right. So you have that kind of thing, too. And so then hanging out are two other entities, the school district, of course, and the legislature. And they both are big players in determining what's happening for you.
Absolutely. The school budget is vital and is actually part of the borough budget. And most likely today I'll be talking about the general fund budget, which we provide services,
okay.
But the budget that's approved is also the school budget in that overall borough budget. And then, of course, the state legislature funds a large percentage of the schools, so how much they give to us really impacts our local budget. And then we also have been in the past 5, 6, 7 years working on grants from the state. And also, too, we've had revenue sharing, which helps a good portion of our operations. And that is something that has been talked about and will be at risk in future years.
Okay. So my sense about it, and help me out here before we get into the details, is that basically the school district makes up a budget of essentially a request of what they think is necessary to run their operation. And they're going to present that. They're going to have discussions with the borough, and they're going to present that budget. And they do it fairly early in the game. And they present that. And they say, well, if we're going next year to have operation, this is what we would like to have for this reason. And then there's something of a waiting game because the legislature doesn't typically come up with its final statement regarding educational funding until after the school district has done its budget.
That is very much correct. The school has already made its presentation to the borough assembly. We also elect school board members, and that's the responsibility of setting and recommending that budget to the borough assembly.
Right.
I think, have been very responsive, given the up-and-down nature, have requested, a 3% increased contribution from the borough, I think, the last 4 years. And they continue to do that for this upcoming budget. And that's pretty incredible when this year they had two new school buildings that they have to work. That's the Valley Pathways and the Day School. They're going to have the Reddington Junior Senior High School with this budget. And then the following year, you're going to have two more elementary schools. So they have been, I think, very reasonable in their approach. And I think that shows good management on their part.
Okay. So we're still waiting, as of this moment here, Monday, April 27th, for the final word from Juneau as to the legislature's actions regarding education budget and money that will be flowing.
Yes, we are. This is kind of like a baseball game going into that 18th inning. Okay. The diehards are still there, but the stadium is almost empty, just waiting to read the paper and see what the result is going to be. There's some activity this weekend. I know they're, I believe this afternoon, they're hitting it again. But I know it's been a difficult time for them, and it's been a struggle to get this thing completed.
Okay. So although there are a number of topics that potentially could be talked about, the big one is the educational funding, and we hope to have some word from that very soon. Let's go back to one other aspect of the budget or the arrangement between the borough and the school district. Each year, and with a large entity, whether it's the borough or the school district or anything, we know that you can budget, but you end up at the end of the year, hopefully with a little bit of excess money that you haven't spent every last penny, and you're certainly not in the red.
That is correct. We both have traditionally done that. And like I said, this is a legal document. So if we have $1,000 in a budget, mm-hmm. we don't have any authority to spend $1,008.
Okay.
So we have to come within that. So it's planning, but I think it's also good management because everything has not been so tight and future decisions are not based upon what you spent this past year. There's no temptation, let's just prove it, that we really need all these funds.
Oh, sure. The last minute flurry to spend
yes.
everything you have.
Yeah, we do not have that here.
But since this is one of those cases where fuzzy math applies, each year mm-hmm. winter comes or not, and when it does, there are large expenses for additional heating costs and or snow removal and all the rest of it. So this has got to be a range. It can't be a specific number. What happens at the end of the fiscal year if there's an amount of money that has been unspent by the school district? What happens to that money at the present time?
At the present time, those funds have rolled back to the school. And in the past, it's been split between the borough and the school district. And the borough took their funds and put it aside for future school construction or acquiring property for future needs. Decision was made last year and then even modified that the school was allowed to keep those excess funds. And that's really helping them get through these budget times when the state is threatening or promising or guaranteeing, whatever side, however you view that, on not having the funding that was anticipated.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on now. I think that's a good set for listeners who may not be familiar with the general operation of things. So right now, we've got, most budgets have two sides, what comes in and what goes out.
Very good way of putting that, yes.
So let's talk about what's coming in. And here I know that there's always been a discussion about the impact of such things as property taxes. This is where we focus so much on something called the mill rate, because each year that seems to be a number that can be used as a reference. Has the mill rate gone up or down? And yet that number rides on top of a whole bunch of other things, like how much of assessed value are you applying the mill rate to?
That is correct. Essentially, a decision is made by the assembly with the school and borough budget on what expenses are need to be charged versus taxes. And then based upon the value, assessed value of property, tells them how much you contribute, what percentage you pay for those taxes. So for instance, this year we are anticipating revenues of $383 million.
Okay.
Of that $383 million, the property taxes are $129 million. So that's about 28% of the money that's spent by the schools and the borough is for property tax.
Okay.
Now, the balance of the money comes from fees and charges. The state, primarily with the schools and some revenue sharing to the borough, is $221 million. We get approximately $10 million from federal. And then we have some earnings, about $8 million. So the property tax do not pay the full boat. And you can kind of see with the state, the money that schools get, even a little bit of fluctuation means a whole lot, because more of that burden would be shifted to our property taxpayers.
Sure. Now, hanging out there as a result of some actions taken in Ketchikan is an interesting position taken by some people that would change the responsibility for payment for schools, increasing potentially the load on a local entity such as the borough. Any comment about that?
Heaven help us. yes, it will really change the way we operate and tax and how we think about, have to think about things. And we do put a lot of thought into this. And I think with our millage rate, past assemblies have been, very careful on what is charged back to the citizens. But that will be pretty much a game changer, putting the burden back on the local municipalities. We view this as schools being responsibility of the state. It's in the Constitution. And through the past, we have been required by the state to pick up a portion. And that's always risky for local governments. And I think the borough is in pretty good stead. There's many other places that are much smaller and much more dependent on the state dollars than we are. And they're even more in the world of hurt than we are.
Okay.
Or will be.
So what we want to do, two things here. First, remind people that decision hasn't been made to turn over responsibility to local entities. It's in process right now, as I understand, in the courts.
It is in the courts, and essentially the suit was done to really force the state to pick up more of the funding. However, all it did is remove the minimum requirement that was stayed. I mean, there's been a few court cases. So right now, nothing has really changed, although there's anticipation it could. But the original suit was to force the state to pay more, a higher percent, or the full boat for schools, and take that burden completely off the local taxpayer. But you know how court systems work. You get in and have your arguments. Who knows what the end result will be.
Yeah. I understand that. Well, Mike Malewski here on The Morning Show with John Moosey, Borough Manager. And I just want to say this is KVRF Sutton and K208BC Palmer. Radio Free Palmer, broadcasting on 89.5 on your FM dial. We're just about at the top of the hour, and we've heard the Palmer whistle in the background. So, John, that's, again, kind of the big container of what we're talking about here, and I appreciate that because it gives us some sense of things. As we move further into talking about, say, income, let's do it this way. How do you view the change in expenses in this next year? The various places where people are looking, for example, whether it's a fire service area, road service area, all of these other personnel costs and so on, insurance costs, which have always been a big thing. Where are the items that are most likely to be moving up and changing the request for funding?
This year, my direction to my directors, department directors, was to come close to a $0 increase, or come at a $0 increase in each of their budgets.
Okay.
Pretty close to that. And there's a couple things that that are kind of really impacting us. Our utilities, as everybody's utilities, have gone up kind of significantly in the past 2 years. It has an impact. We have made quite a bit of infrastructure investments that is now creating, you know, an ongoing cost. I mean, we did the Hatcher Pass Chalet.
Right.
We did the addition to the Dorothy Swanda Jones Building, which is the borough building. We just completed Station 5-1. We have the Caswell Fire Station, EMS Fire Station. We have the Sutton Library. We have the Talkeetna Library. And just to, you know, to clean those facilities, we're about $225,000 of new expense just to maintain those. We, you know, our utilities to heat and provide electric is up about $1 million. So with, you know, cost of living, our service contracts we have to pay is going up. So the departments, once again, have come up and tried to get us to that $0 increase. It's been kind of difficult. And here's a couple of things that's impacting our costs. We now have our bonding. 3 years ago, the citizens voted $214 million to build the schools.
Right.
Those bonding payments are now coming due on an annual basis. We had a $64 million road bonds. Those are coming forth on those. Now, what's great about both of those is the citizens aren't paying a full boat. The road bonds, half of it is coming back from the state, and 65 to 70% is coming back to cover those bonds. But that still is an increase. And one thing, and I'm happy, and I hope they never change it. We've exempted senior and disabled veterans up to $218 million on their property tax, which means if they live in a home, they qualify and live in a home, $2,018 or less, they pay no tax. No property tax, including the RSAs and FSA dollars. If they have a $250,000 home, they only pay the difference of only paying at $32,000. So that's a great thing, and I'm sure it makes everybody want to live here forever.
Right. Now, some would say, okay. However, you have taken away an amount of income. Well, how do we deal with that?
That is the issue on how we pay for that, and we spread it with less property owners, and that's really the other impact to our levy.
Well, along with this, we have heard many times that the Mattsu Borough is a very rapidly growing area, and part of the discussion, I know it's out there, it's been out there for many, many years, I've been involved with it, is if you grow, what kind of growth will pay for itself, and what kind of growth costs the borough more than it contributes?
Well, growth that tends to pay for itself is commercial and industrial base, and we are very weak in that area.
Okay.
You know, that is why we have put emphasis on the port and rail to really open up those opportunities in a big way. But as we add population, we have businesses come and they pay taxes. One thing I think it's interesting here, it's they pay dollar for dollar value the same as a homeowner. Whereas in Minnesota, they pay seven times the value of a homeowner. So if you had $100,000 value of business versus $100,000 value home, the business would pay seven times more. Here it's dollar for dollar.
Wow.
So which really leads to more encouragement for business location,
sure.
Provide the jobs. One thing that I think it's extremely valued, it's kind of overlooked, if we have a business located in a valley, instead of mom or dad driving into Anchorage, they're working here. They spend their dollars here, but more important for that family and the community, that's 10 hours. We gave time back to that family of 10 hours that could be with home, with Boy Scouts, with Little League, with Dance Follies, with church. And that's, I think, the real value of having jobs here in the Valley. Besides a dollar, it's, having given people a better opportunity to live where they're not spending the time on the road.
Right. Okay. Well, you touched upon a number of categories. And I know that having been involved in the past in a couple of different ambulance services as a volunteer, and also being aware of areas that have transitioned, and I would look at the borough as a transition area, moving from mostly volunteer to partially paid, other volunteers, you go out in the core area, et cetera. And of course, as you do this, and you're saying you're paying people, and I also know that there's a present issue or question about when does a volunteer receive other benefits and the rest of this. How do you see that impacting the budget, that expansion of EMS services, which in one way or another is going to have paid personnel?
It will, and I think you put the correct way, Mike. We're in a transition period. We need to go more to a full-time professional. I like to do that in a very measured way. Bottom line, we're talking about public safety. Mm-hmm. And when those calls are made, we want the best personnel, the most prepared, the well-rested personnel to be there to address those issues. And with our changing environment and how people live, you can't do that at this point in time, I think, on strictly volunteer. And we're starting to see this, and it comes down to, hey, this all affects the budget. So how do you be fair to the taxpayer and provide these services and advance these services in a way that is reasonable, fair, and well thought out?
So it looks to me like it's going to be another bottom line pressure on the borough's budget.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, the borough operates and sets a budget, and then there are local entities, and recently in the news been road service areas, fire service areas. To what degree do those entities, those portions of the borough, have a way of influencing what is charged as the add-on mill rate for services? Because it varies depending on where you live.
That is correct. It varies based upon the desired service and ability for that service area to pay. Certainly, you have many more people. I mean, just like anything, you have more people. You can really right size your service and have more people to spread that burden. But you get out in the Sutton area or, Talkeetna area, you have less people to pay, but you still have the need. They do. I mean, as you know, in the paper, there's been discussions on what's going on at Willow with fire right. stations and level service and call out times, and the community is having that discussion, and that's going back. It's kind of interesting. We do not have as a borough fire service, firepower or road power, so we have to perform these special districts that are voted on by the citizens that have their own board that make recommendations to the assembly. So we very much try to listen, and those areas have a huge impact on the level of service that they want to receive and how much they want to pay for that service.
But bottom line, it's the borough that makes the final decision.
That is correct.
Okay. So you've nicely described the fact that this is a large borough and that what might be one way of doing things in the core area, Palmer, Wasilla, may not be the same that you would want to do further up. And we also know that there are some kind of unique situations with entities that are recognizable. I'm thinking about Talkeetna, mm-hmm. Also in the paper recently because of local utilities issue that and this is kind of an interesting example, I guess, of a combination of things. As I understand the situation, you have maybe 700 people that live in Talkeetna, and if that's all that were there most of the year, you could operate pretty well. But there's some suggestion that one of the industries that the Mat-Su prides itself on having is a tourist industry. And so you might get 100,000 people that pass through Talkeetna. And that puts quite a bit of stress on their utilities, particularly water, sewer, things of that sort. And yet it's an interesting example of the borough, which is responsible to what degree, and the funding issue, as you've described it nicely, local area funds and so on, but 700 people, can they carry the load, literally, for 100,000 people?
That's been a struggle. And, you know, kind of put this in perspective, of those 700 persons, only about 150, we only have 150 customers for those utilities.
Right.
So you have a full-blown system that's carried by so few people, and it's expensive. In fact, it's very expensive because they don't have that, and because the costs are high, there's no encouragement for anybody else to kind of sign up for that. So we have there's really no easy answer. You can provide a sales tax, but then does the sales tax drive business away from the area? So. So it's a struggle. It's been a struggle for a long time, and I don't think there's an easy answer to that other than us working with what funds we have to make sure the system is functioning properly.
Okay. I expect there'll be a lot of work on that one because from the outside, it looks extremely difficult.
It is. It is. It comes down to it. It's a big, expensive system paid for by a few people.
Okay. Well, let's talk about two things here because we've actually been at this for 25 minutes or so, hard to believe. But upcoming are a whole series of meetings that give listeners the opportunity to see how the budget process is going, et cetera. Could you just briefly describe how that's going to be approached? You begin with a quick meeting pretty soon. You don't have to have every one of them, but there are certainly a number of meetings, I know.
Yes, there are. First, this Thursday was postponed. I will be making my budget presentation to the Assembly.
Okay.
And followed by, it's going to be a vigorous discussion with my staff about the operation.
Okay. Now, did you say that was postponed?
It was postponed from last Thursday. It will be this Thursday.
Right.
And let me quickly here get the dates. I believe that's going to be at the borough building at 10 a.m. on Thursday the 30th.
Right. That's what I understood.
Yeah, that is correct. And then we are coming back on the 4th, and we will be at Station 6-1 at 6 o'clock. And this is strictly for the citizens to come and make their views, concerns, questions be known. And the whole session is just really taking input from our citizens, and we've traditionally done that in Wasilla. Tuesday the 5th, we have a regular assembly meeting that we'll not be dealing with the budget, but of course we always have a couple open common areas where people can comment mm-hmm. About budget or budget issues. We got off Wednesday the 6th. So no meetings on Wednesday the 6th.
Okay.
So those people need to go to prayer meeting. Please pray for us in the borough.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, the 7th, we will be at the Willow Community Center, which is just like it's going. It was just like it was on Monday in Wasilla.
Okay.
So those are, and then following on May 11th is really when the discussion, that's also at 6 o'clock at the Assembly Chambers, when discussion really comes on what's this budget going to be like. And I believe that time the amendments to my proposed budget will be flying fast and furious.
Okay, so plenty of opportunities, and these will be announced. Of course, they're on your website, they'll be in the paper, and everywhere. We'll talk about them as well. And then we aim toward May 11th to have it out there.
Yes.
So to speak. We've talked about a lot of things, John. Have I missed anything, or have you missed any detail or piece that would convey something about this this budget that we haven't talked about?
My proposal, just generally know, is a small increase on our area mill levy, you know, based upon our reductions in revenue and ongoing new responsibilities,
right?
Not ongoing costs. The Assembly has been, my 4 years here have been very active in this budget. So what I present, I'm in no way thinking it's going to come out the same. It hasn't in the past. I don't think we'll have it here. And I want to encourage you, you know, talk to your local assembly person. They do listen. Their opinions and actions are shaped by the input that they have. In fact, it's quite incredible how much they listen and how much they, if I'm not, they're getting an answer that they want or the citizens want, how much they try to drill down, trying to get the full details so they can make a proper decision.
Okay. And this will be as difficult, if not more difficult, than the Talkeetna situation, just trying to put all these pieces together.
Yes, we have. We always have more needs than dollars, and it comes down to what has a higher priority. And it's just like, you know, it's really not a whole lot different on a different scale of your, you know, your home budget. I mean, there's things you really want to do, and things that you absolutely have to do so the house doesn't fall down. And those are some of the decisions that we have to make here.
Sure. Okay. Well, I want to thank John Moosey, borough manager, for coming in today and talking about most things budget-related.